way we are perceiving reality is the complete picture. For example, if you have a child, you notice that a child doesn't perceive all the things that an adult does. Even within the same species, you can notice how the senses are limited. And the things children pay attention to, adults don't really see. They don't consider it important. Every kind of body has limitations. Therefore, if you want to know knowledge, you have to become reliant on authority, because even material knowledge, so much of it is beyond the range of your senses. So many things. To know so many things, you're dependent on authority, even about ordinary things in this world. So, how do you find out who is the best authority? That should be your quest. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents himself as the best authority. Mata pratanam nanya kinchidasti sanjaya. There's no authority more expert than me. There's no authority higher than me. That is Krishna's proposition in Bhagavad Gita. Now what will you say?
Well, I'm interested in involving myself in the conception of the things and keeping the various things to meditation.
Yes, but understand that Krishna is asking you to accept him as the number one authority.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And then you get the result. Arjuna was bewildered. He didn't know what to do. So finally he accepted Krishna as authority instead of just his friend. And then his bewilderment was cured. We have to think carefully about what we're doing when we deal with Bhagavad Gita. We are dealing with authority. Krishna is presenting himself as the highest authority of knowledge. Did you know that? I just thought it was a nice book. No, it's a very provocative book. Krishna is presenting himself as the supreme person, the highest authority for knowledge. If you take Bhagavad Gita in that way, you'll benefit. Otherwise, if you consider Krishna to be just an ordinary person, a demigod, abnormally powerful person, you'll miss the point. If you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, you have to accept Krishna's presentation of himself. And that's hard for non-devotees. They cannot accept Krishna's presentation of himself. He says right in Bhagavad Gita who he is, but non-devotees cannot accept that. They just look beyond it, as if Krishna doesn't know what he's talking about. The Lord gives his explanation in Bhagavad Gita. Nam prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavata. I don't manifest myself to everyone. I don't reveal myself to everyone. I keep myself covered with the curtain of my deluding energy. We've explained before, any respectable person doesn't reveal himself or herself just to anybody. Someone who you don't know, you'd never reveal all the details of your life. Now that is for persons who have gained your trust. So Krishna, being the supreme, perfect person, says, I don't reveal myself to everyone. And he explains that those who are envious of him, they cannot understand him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fools think he's ordinary. Avajananti mamta. Fools think that he's an ordinary person. Or, They think that first he was impersonal, and then the impersonal manifested as personal. How from impersonal can come personal? A person can be impersonal, but how from impersonal you get personal? Just like when you want, you can be impersonal. You can give someone the cold shoulder. Because you are a person. You have a subordinate impersonal aspect. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahmana Vipratishtha. The impersonal Brahman is based upon my personality. So much confusion in India about this point. Impersonalists are also transcendentalists, but they are incomplete. Now, some impersonalists, they just don't know any better. All they know is the impersonal stage of realization. But others, they are actively against Krishna. They try to obliterate Krishna and establish impersonalism as supreme. The more innocent type simply have no envious opinion of Krishna. They just are caught up in this impersonal phase of realization. But when impersonalists become dangerous is when they try to attack the personality of Godhead and claim that impersonalism is supreme. They try to say that everything about Krishna is Maya, the highest form of this world, but it's built by saying Maya. Therefore, they're called Maya bodies. They think everything is Maya, except the nonsense they speak. So it's very fortunate that you can read a bona fide Bhagavad Gita, a genuine Bhagavad Gita. Devotees should know Bhagavad Gita. They should know how to preach from Bhagavad Gita. See yourself in Arjuna's situation. You'll get ample opportunity. Because the bodily conception of life is always threatening. When the usual situations appear in this world that threaten your body and things in relation to the body, then you have a chance to take Arjuna's situation. Well, Lord Kapila Dev says like that in the third canto, Bhagavatam. Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido vavanti hritkana prasayana kata. The talks about the Lord become more powerful in the association of devotees. More powerful, more tasty. The more the better. Be able to display the wonders of Bhagavad Gita to everyone. People will be very impressed if they see you reveal the glories of Bhagavad Gita. Just like people, they're impressed when the Christians have their New Testament and they just flip through it, you know. You should at least do that for Bhagavad Gita. then the person will think, oh, I want to also be able to do that. You have to show them that Bhagavad Gita contains everything. The core of everything is there. Unless you become excited about the books, how do you plan to excite anybody else about them? You should always carry some books with you when you're going to work or places like that. You never know who you're going to meet. Please remember, the emphasis on chanting. The quest to chant with attention, to chant without offenses. That has to be the defining quest of your life. Generally, the defining quest of life ordinarily is how to get rewarding sense gratification. The actual defining question, however, should be how to chant Krishna's name with quality. You have to get out of the nama-parad stage, the stage of offensive chanting, because in that stage you'll simply be cooking with smoke. And that's why you notice devotees go on for some years and then they fade. So we were discussing a few days ago why it is that Hare Krishna's fade. It's because they don't deal with this problem of getting out of the nama-parad or offensive chanting stage. They've got so many excuses. But they feel like they're immune to disturbance due to lack of quality chanting, because after all, you feel like you're a good person. You're not the best of me, but you're not the worst. And besides, you have so many things to do. In this way, we insulate ourselves from the necessity to chant nicely. Chanting nicely is not just something sentimental. It's according to a specific process. From the offensive stage to the clearing stage to the pure stage. Cooking is a process. If you cook with fire, then the preparation is done. So we have to be honest and address ourselves. What are we cooking with? To take a deep look at the offenses to the holy name. Maintaining material attachment while chanting. Being inattentive. Committing simple activity on the strength of chanting. By concentrating on your chanting, everything else in your life will come together. When you develop the taste that you want to chant properly, then you become very mindful and careful about the offenses. Because you don't want anything to destroy the taste you're getting from chanting. So this is the real thing that causes success or failure in Krishna consciousness. Sooner or later we're going to have to realize that. As devotees get older, they start branching out into different things and conceptions. In every case, you can notice they fail to address the point that I have to learn how to chant without offense. Some point in my life. It has to come. You have to cross that bridge, whether now or in 50 years or the next life. You have to grapple with this issue. How to give proper attention to Krishna's holy name. It's like in household life, the husband and wife, they just got to deal with one another. Especially, it is said by householders that once the romance wears off, after 5 years, you basically got to renegotiate your marriage. Like, okay, who are we and what do we really want to do now that the romance has faded? So similarly, devotees have to periodically renegotiate their relationship with the Holy Name. Isn't it like that in household life? That once the romance wears off and the novelty of being with the opposite sex and Krishna consciousness, then you've got to kind of decide, well, okay, what are we going to do? And what's the goal and how are we going to relate to one another? How long does the honeymoon last?
I guess we have different versions. Sounds like 3 years and 5.
10? You see, 10? 5? Generally got 2 years. And then after the 50th, you've got to do some serious renegotiation because that illusory thing called romance has disappeared. First, there's this novelty. I mean, you experience man and woman together in material life, but this is different. It's in Krishna consciousness, so it's kind of a novelty to it. When that fades, then everything has to be renegotiated. Similarly, we have to renegotiate our attachment to the Holy Name periodically. How am I giving Krishna's name attention? How am I showing that I care? Like in a relationship, the other person wants to always feel that you're caring. Show me that you care. We have to do that for Krishna's Holy Name. Something that fades. You get some feeling, okay, I'm going to really do a lot for Krishna. You get caught up in that feeling because there's no substance there. Next week it's something else. Bhakti has two components, jnana and vairagya, knowledge and detachment. Sentimentality means you just want some superficial feeling without the firm commitment to day after day trying to please Krishna. Where your heart is at, that's what you'll go for.
But we condition ourselves. The heart is wise in this forest fire.
Then you have to follow the process to get out of the forest fire. Krishna consciousness is a process, as we said the other night. Krishna told Arjuna, Mayasakta Manaparta, Yoga Mirjana, Assumption, Samadharma, Yatag, Yasasutastra. Arjuna, I'm going to teach you the process by which your mind can become attached to me. You'll know me completely without doubt. Just listen. In the ninth chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, Idam sute priyatamo pravakshyam yandasuyave yana vijana sahitam yajyatra mukshase shubha. Because you're never envious of me, Arjuna, I'm going to teach you the knowledge by which you'll be freed from all the miseries of material life. So, by the way, it's just process. The material life is offering its processes to you. The employment process, the school process, the lust process. So many processes you undergo in material existence. Especially the process of repeated birth and death. The relationship in this material world between Purusha refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the only real Purusha or Joya. Or someone in the material world who is trying to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in our conditioned life, we are imitation Purushas. And we're trying to exploit prakriti, material nature. So what is the relationship between the false purushas and the prakriti, material nature? The relationship is samsara. Repeated birth and death. That thing is the relationship. It's like you might think, what is my relationship with this person? Or that person? So the false purushas have a relationship with the prakriti. They don't know what it is. No, it's called samsara. That's the fruit of the relationship between the Purusha and the Prakriti in this world. It's like in ordinary affairs. You meet someone and you feel romantic. You describe the relationship. Zing went the strings of my heart, you know. Things were happening. Similarly, when the conditioned soul meets up with material nature, something happens. What is that? Samsara. Therefore, every morning we sing Samsara Dhamma, I don't look. Blazing fire of material existence. But we're so foolish, we feel it to be cool. Desirable. How can I increase the flames? I'm not burning enough. Is that crazy we are? Any other questions? This way, if you want to make a difference in your devotional community here in Perth, you'll encourage one another to chant very seriously. First, make a list of all the excuses why you can't do it. No, family, job, this, that, the other. Just clear out all the excuses. Everyone can just put out all their excuses. As I said, this lack of embracing the quest to chant nicely, this is what causes devotional problems. Devotees start looking for different things, other things, as the years go by. Hey, I've done that sadhana thing for a while, you know. I need something more. But if your life is consumed by trying to chant nicely, that keeps you occupied. And if all the activities of your day become an expression of your chanting, that's very good. So you have to decide for yourself. Do you want to be just an official Hare Krishna, where you are actually going to taste what Lord Chaitanya has come to give. There is a process. You either end up cooking with smoke or cooking with fire. You have cooked with wet wood before? You've cooked with wet wood before when you're making a fire in India? A lot of smoke comes. It's very frustrating. So, that is an example about how our spiritual life goes when we don't follow the process properly. Flames sputtering and crackling and just lots of smoke. And when the wood is dry, then the flame shoots up. Cooks the food nicely. Lord Chaitanya says that Krishna has invested all his potencies in the holy name. Sarvashakti, but Jadayuvani, Jusamahajanaraka, we're so unfortunate. We have no raga, no attachment for the holy name. That is our unfortunate case. And we think we need so many other things. So, thinking we need so many other things, that's what makes the Hare Krishna movement so complicated and unwieldy sometimes. Everyone just wants to belong to a social club and have religious beliefs. But who wants to apply the process seriously? Isn't it so? Like when you were a new devotee, you were very process conscious. That's the way all new devotees are. But then, after a while, you know, hey, I believe in Krishna. You know, it's enough. You know? Isn't that so? Yeah, I believe in Krishna. Hare Bol Prabhus. When you were a new devotee, weren't you process conscious? No, not so much. So. Yes, when you were in the Gurukula, you were there. As you get older, you realize that, you know, one person told me, I don't have to chant my rounds every day because I've done that for 15 years. I've internalized it all. So we may not go to that extreme. We don't stop chanting our rounds, but in terms of understanding of the process of Krishna consciousness, is everything. We kind of slack off because, you know, we're not bad persons. We believe in Krishna. So we slack off. And we tell ourselves this is all right. We delude ourselves. Yeah, feels okay. Yeah. If we actually think about the process and how we're not applying it, well, that's another thing. But instead we just, yeah, this will be all right. This level I'm at is all right. Someone who tries to chant seriously is always thinking, oh, I just can't chant and hear enough. Vemala Devi Mai. It's like we were discussing this morning. Gauranga Boli Tehame, Buddha Kashvai, Hari Hari Boli Tehame, Nayane Vahine. This is Navtam Das Thakur. Longing. When will it happen? So keep chanting Gauranga. Body shivers, tears shoot from the eyes. Thank you. you do something for Krishna, you should think, I've been appointed to do this task for Krishna's pleasure. Let me do it to the best of my ability. In order to do something for Krishna, you've got to put yourself into it and leave the results to the Lord. But you have to put yourself into it. The thing is that generally when you put yourself into something, you want the results for yourself, because you put yourself into it. Right? But bhakti means to put yourself into it, and Krishna enjoys the results. Just like Arjuna fighting in Bhagavad Gita. He had to put himself into the battle. You can't fight in a half-hearted way. But even though he put himself in the battle, Krishna told him, just fight and think of me. Victory and defeat is not your concern. Devotee sees how actually everything is dependent on Krishna. Materialistic society tries to get you to see that everything depends on the society and its arrangements, the electricity, the air conditioner, lights. What's that happy with Krishna? So, just a few devotees can make this change about the chanting. You just need a few persons who can demonstrate that it is possible to try. Seems a bit daunting. Seems like a very huge task to day after day make chanting the number one thing of your day. Seems like. Usually we just kind of, rattle through our rounds, right? Get out of the way. But to kind of really focus on your chanting period as this is the most important part of my day, do that day after day. Seems like, wow. Right?
I did that for a long time, living in the Brahmacharya ashram, and all very enthusiastic devotees. And at the time, it wasn't difficult at all, it was wonderful. So this time, I'm not like it. So I don't think it was difficult to start again.
Everybody should make their list of excuses.
Spiritual life we have, and accordingly, some of the next one.
Krishna consciousness is a process. You apply the process diligently, you'll get the result. But we should analyze our life and see how we all exempted ourselves from the quest for offenseless chanting because, you know, yeah. But Krishna can't really mean that he wants that. Surely there's something else, right? The very least you can do is arrange that you're not distracted by physical activity while you're chanting. Then you can start to work on the mind. I mean, if you can like get it, you gotta be practical. Try to get it down to at least 5 days out of 7. You're not bothered by anything. I mean, sometimes emergencies happen in the morning. Just the way this world works, you know. But if you can get it down to like 5 or 6 days out of 7 where you've got a clear shot of chanting properly, that's very good.
How much is kripa in the mercy?
The mercy is given by Lord Chaitanya. We're talking about the flood of love of Krishna. But we don't want to jump into the water. Because we have our excuses. It's amazing. We call ourselves Hare Krishnas, but we got this thing about chanting Hare Krishna. We just want to belong. But to fly the process, well, isn't it enough to belong? You chant in the temple room, then that's the best way not to be bothered by external disturbance. So I must be going. Chatting in the temple room happens sometimes. Still, it's a room where everybody's chanting in, right? Right there. But the phone's there. It rings in the morning. Yeah. If you're serious, you'll figure something out. Certainly, to chant in front of Tulsi Devi with a vow, that's the most recommended process. In the temple room, there's Tulsi Devi. Remember, the Prabhupada said, this opportunity should not be missed. So much potency, chanting with a vow in front of Tulsi Devi.